follow up, Brother Randy? Yeah, all right. Well, it's good to be here. Happy Mother's Day again, if you weren't here this morning. And if you would open your Bibles and turn to the book of Job, Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8, and we'll get into it here. I do have the mothers on my heart this morning, and so this is for everyone. And I think you all can get something out of this, but I did have them in mind when I prepared this. And so we'll turn to Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8. Begin reading in verse 5. Job chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, "If thou wouldest seek unto God betimes, and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase." And what I'd like to talk to you about this morning is how to live happily ever after. And I think for the last few generations, at least I can say mine, everybody wants to live happily ever after. Disney and some of the other studios have been capitalizing on that fact for years. Everyone wants to live happily ever after with Prince Charming or Princess Charming. And that's what it's been like, and that's what my generation has. That's the kind of movies that have been coming out. And, you know, what the reality of it is that real life isn't always like that. And me and you know that because we're living in this real life. But maybe you remember a time when you were younger, when you dressed up in that princess dress. I've got the mothers in mind here. Hopefully, as a guy, you weren't dressing up in a princess dress. We hope that wasn't happening. But maybe you remember a time when you were looked in that mirror and you had this plan for your life of what happily ever after looked like. And maybe you've lived a bit now, and maybe you've come to the point where it wasn't what you thought it was going to be. Maybe happily ever after and all the dreams and all the things that you thought that would look like, maybe it didn't go the way that you thought it would go. As a matter of fact, I can say it probably did not go the way that you thought that it would go. And I'm not saying you're unhappy. I'm not saying you're miserable, but it probably didn't go the way that you thought it was going to go. And, you know, me and you, we walk down the street most days, and like we were talking about this morning, people are miserable. And I think 90% of people, it didn't go the way that they thought it was going to go. And this is another thing. If it did go the way that they thought it was going to go, it turned out that all the things that they had wished for did not satisfy the way that they thought it would. The money didn't satisfy. The riches didn't satisfy. All the power and the fame, it didn't fill the hole in the chest. So this morning, we're going to be talking about how to live happily ever after. And we've got three women in the Bible, some very particular, special women that we're going to look at. And we're going to look at how they lived and some of their problems. But we're going to see at the end that they lived happily ever after. And so we're going to look at that this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, I thank you again for just any opportunity to be in your house and to hear from you. And Lord, the only way that these people and can hear from you is if this is of your book and through your words. And so I pray now that you would minister to this group, and I pray that you'd be here in the midst of us and that you would minister through me. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'd like to look at this first woman here. First woman was 1 Samuel chapter 1. You might know already who I'm referring to, but this woman's name was Hannah. And in the Bible, maybe you remember in Sunday school, this lady Hannah, back in the Old Testament times, for a woman to be blessed, it meant that they were blessed with children. And if a woman did not have children, it meant that there was, for them, it meant that there was something wrong. And that's not exactly how it works nowadays. That's not exactly how God does things. But back then, that blessing from God was to bless a woman with child, right? And so we see here that it greatly displeased her when Hannah found out that she could not have kids. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, and an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And so what I'd like you to notice is Hannah's problem was God's fault. Everybody has problems in here, but not every time is your problem God's fault. But in Hannah's situation, it was God's fault. Hannah didn't do anything particularly wrong to deserve the quote-unquote treatment that she was getting. This wasn't anybody else's fault. It wasn't Peninnah's fault that Hannah had no children. But nonetheless, Hannah had a problem, and it was God's fault. And so we see, if we continue reading in the story, in verse 5, unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. So you see, it was literally God's fault. The Lord is the one who did it. And in verse 6, it says, and her adversary, which is Peninnah, the other wife, her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. So you can imagine, you can see Peninnah making fun of Hannah for not having the kids that she had. And it's so silly. Peninnah, it's from God anyways. It's not like Peninnah did anything good to deserve kids. It's just that God allowed her to have kids. And so we look at this story, and I don't know about you, but I can see in my imagination, I see Hannah getting to this point in her life, and she married this man, Elkanah, and it seemed like things were going well, and she got to this point, and she said, I didn't think it would go this way. This isn't how I thought it was going to go. And so we see here Hannah's problem as God's fault. Back then, when there were no doctors, God was fully in control of this, and she probably thought it wasn't supposed to go this way. I'd like you to look at another woman named Bathsheba. Bathsheba, we know Bathsheba. If you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11, 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11, we'll begin reading in verse 27. 2 Samuel 11, 27, and when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. I'm not going to go into the details of this story here, but everybody in here probably knows the story of David and Bathsheba. And some bad stuff went on in this chapter here, earlier in the chapter, and David and Bathsheba committed the sin of adultery. And what ended up happening was, as time passed, the way that God looked at it was David's fault, because it was. It was all David's fault, but at the same time, Bathsheba had part in the sin. And so I see this story here, and Bathsheba ended up conceiving a child, and David killed Uriah because of that whole story to try and cover up his sin. And that child ended up dying. And I can imagine Bathsheba with that little baby in her hands, that dead baby. And I can see her there, and I can imagine her thinking, it wasn't supposed to go this way. This isn't how I thought happily ever after was supposed to be like. And while it may have been Hannah's fault, while it may have been God's fault for Hannah, this time it was all Bathsheba's fault. Every problem that Bathsheba was facing, the despair and the distraught way that she felt was really her fault. She had lost a husband, and now she's with David, and I bet that wasn't a very peaceful year for them. I bet there was a lot of turmoil and trouble in that time, and that was Bathsheba's fault. And I can see her saying, it wasn't supposed to go this way. Finally, we see another woman. If you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25, 1 Samuel chapter 25, we see another lady, and her name is Abigail. And I don't know if you know the story of Abigail, but in 1 Samuel chapter 25, in verse 2, we'll begin reading in 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 2. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And if you continue reading the story, what you'll find out is David comes to this place that Nabal had, and David was looking for a place where him and his men could rest, but Nabal said that he couldn't rest in his property because Nabal was an evil man, and he wanted nothing to do with David. And I'd like you to notice that Abigail was a good woman. She had good understanding. She was really doing the best that she could, but Nabal was there. And this time, it wasn't God's fault. This time, it wasn't her fault, her situation. This time, it was someone else's fault. I can just see Abigail, again, I imagine maybe when she was younger, she didn't do anything really wrong when she married Nabal. I'm sure it wasn't really like a slew of bad decisions that led to her marrying Nabal. But at the end of the day, I can just see her maybe in that house, in that 3,000-acre plot of land, looking at Nabal, who was an evil, churlish man, and saying, man, I didn't think it would go this way. This isn't how I imagined happily ever after would look like. And in verse 25, we'll see Abigail. Well, we'll actually start in verse 22, 1 Samuel 25, verse 22. It says, so and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertain to him by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. And so David was going to go in there and he was going to slaughter Nabal and all the land and the possessions that he had because of the way that he was treating him. And Abigail comes and she bows herself to the ground in verse 24 and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. And so Abigail realizes that Nabal, her husband, is a fool. And the name Nabal actually means fool. So that's why she's saying Nabal's his name and he's a fool. And I'm saying all of these things to say that everybody in here, you've probably got some problems. Everybody in here probably, maybe, you have some situations in your life where you're thinking, this didn't go the way that I thought it was going to go. Maybe some decisions that you made didn't work out the way that you thought it was going to work out. And I'm looking at these stories here, and I'm looking at these different women, and I see really anybody in this room, you can put yourself in one of those categories. Maybe you've done something wrong, and you're facing some of the repercussions of it. Maybe this morning you feel like Hannah, like God has shortchanged you. Like there's something in your life that you wanted that God is keeping from you or that he's taken away from you. Maybe you can't get through a day without arguing with Nabal. Maybe you can't get through a day without somebody in your life. It doesn't have to be a husband. It can be maybe some family member where you are in opposition with them and they're causing problems. And you're thinking to yourself, it's such a big problem that you're thinking, I didn't think it was going to go this way. I didn't think this is what happily ever after was supposed to look like. And in all of those problems, in the midst of all of that, I'd like to say that there is a purpose for those things. There is 110% a purpose for those things if you respond the right way. But it is contingent on you responding the right way. If Abigail would have locked herself in her room, or if Abigail would have run off on Nabal, we wouldn't have seen the results that came to be in Abigail's life. If the Hannah would have gotten depressed about the Lord not giving her a child and given up on God, she would have never given birth to Samuel. Never. If Bathsheba would have stayed in her sin and not repented like she did in Psalm 51 with David, she never would have given birth to Solomon, the king, the wisest man who ever lived. And so what I'd like to say is, I'd like to really encourage you this morning. I guess I've been a bit depressing thus far, but it's Mother's Day. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever stage of life you're in, you know there's a purpose for these things? You know God hasn't forgotten you? You know, you may be there, and you may be in a position like Hannah. If you want to turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah was distraught. Hannah poured her heart out to God, and she didn't get an answer right away. She almost gave up. And yet, I'd like to encourage you here this morning, there was a purpose. And these women, although in that situation, if you want to put yourself there, it may have seemed hopeless. Just a couple years later, they got to experience what happily ever after looked like. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we see here in verse 7, after her adversary had just provoked her sore, after we got the negative out of the way, in verse 7, and so he did, so and as he did, so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Isn't that just like a man to not understand what the woman is going through? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Hannah's depressed and pouring her heart out to God, and all Elkanah can say is, what's wrong? You got me. Of course, Hannah is so, she doesn't even say anything back to him. In verse 9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk, and Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. I can see that girl just pouring her heart out to the Lord, getting on her knees, maybe getting some of that bitterness she had against him right with him, and coming to a point where she just realized that I just need to get this with God. I need to get with God and I need to figure some stuff out. In verse 11 it says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And so I'd like to say that Hannah didn't give up on God. Even though it seemed like he was the source of her problems, she didn't give up on him. And she went to him and she said, God, if you could help me with this and you could bless me with that child, I promise you I'll give him to you. What you find out, and we don't have the time to look at the life of Samuel, but you know, Samuel came in there and Hannah gave birth to this child, Samuel, who spent most of his time in the temple, and he became one of the greatest types of Christ in the Old Testament. Because a woman gave her problem to God. It seems like such a small thing. There's just this random woman in Israel who isn't able to have kids like hundreds of other women. And yet, because she went to God and poured out her soul to him, she was able to give birth to Samuel, who was the greatest judge that Israel had ever seen. You don't think that brought her great joy in her life? Not only that, she had more children after Samuel. She had more blessing. And Peninnah couldn't talk anymore. The adversary had nothing to say. And so Hannah, I mean, from what it seems like, Hannah found out the purpose. And I just imagine maybe down the road, she got to be 16, 17, 80 years old, and she looked back on that bitterness of soul that she had when she was weeping in the temple, and she looked back on that and said, it was worth it. It was worth it. I got to see my son grow up to become a great man for God. I'd like to go back to the story of Bathsheba in Proverbs chapter 31. If you would turn to Proverbs chapter 31, and everybody always gets down on Bathsheba for this terrible story, and it was wicked, it was terrible. But Bathsheba would not have had this reputation at the end of her life if she had not repented. Evidently, something happened between 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, and this Proverbs chapter 31 with Bathsheba, where she got some things right with God. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1, it says this, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. I don't know if you know this, the book of Proverbs is written by Solomon, the wisest man, king who ever lived, besides Jesus Christ. And this King Lemuel, that is King Solomon. People have looked into it. That word Lemuel, it just means something that has to do with Solomon's life. And that king, Lemuel, is Solomon. And his mother taught him a prophecy. And we get this entire chapter, Proverbs 31, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible on how you are supposed to live as a Christian, on how a good woman is supposed to be. And that comes from Bathsheba, the one who sinned in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Why is that? There would be no Psalm chapter 51 without Bathsheba. It wouldn't be there. I'm not excusing what happened. It was wrong. And some of you in here have done wrong. Some of you in here have made bad decisions. But God can turn it around. If you go to Him. There's a catch to both of these things. There's a catch to Hannah. There's a catch to Bathsheba. You have to pour out your soul to God the way Hannah did. I think about Abigail, and for sake of time, we won't read the whole story again, but if you go back to that that chapter in 1 Samuel chapter 25, 1 Samuel chapter 25, I want you to notice something. 1 Samuel chapter 25. First Samuel chapter 25, it says this. And we'll begin reading in verse 36. And this is after Abigail interceded for Nabal. And she told David to spare him. And David did spare him. And David said in verse 32, 1 Samuel 25, verse 32, and David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which thou hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall." So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, "Go up in peace in thy house, and see, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person." What ends up happening is this fool Nabal, in verse 37, this fool Nabal ends up dying, and it says, "It came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass after about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died." And I don't want to go into, I don't think anybody in here needs to be wishing anybody to die or anything like that. I don't think anybody in here should be wishing that on anybody else, but God took care of Abigail's situation. And afterwards, David came back, and David came to Abigail, and he took her as his wife. He took Abigail, the one that came to give him that good advice. She ended up spending the rest of her days with the king of Israel, with David. And I can just, again, think back, and maybe at the time when Abigail thought that her life was in shambles and thought that she was going to have to spend the rest of her days with this fool, David came and he took her away with him. And I bet every argument she had with Nabal, and every problem she ever had with Nabal, and maybe the silent treatment she got from him only made her time with David that much sweeter. They spent the rest of their lives together. Abigail spent the rest of her life with David. And so I just see in all of these things, in all these problems, I see their purpose, and of course at the end of it, God's providence in all of these things. And I'd like to tell you this morning, one day, David's going to come back. Jesus Christ is going to come back, and when the old man is dead, and this world is dead, Jesus Christ is going to come back, and he's going to take us away, and we're going to go away with him. If you would turn to Song of Solomon chapter 2, Song of Solomon chapter 2, Song of Solomon chapter 2, I'd like to read you something that you can apply to yourself. And one day Jesus Christ is coming back, and all the problems that me and you have experienced in this life, and whether we see the purpose of them in this life or not, in Song of Solomon chapter 2, I'd like you to begin reading. Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. One day Jesus Christ is going to come back, and he's going to say, rise up, my fair one, and come away with me. He's going to come back and he's going to take you up to heaven, and all of the problems of this life and all the things that maybe you had some struggles with, it's going to be happily ever after with Jesus Christ in eternity. And I don't know what you're facing in here. I don't know what you've got going on. Maybe in the moment you're in the position of one of these women. Maybe you're thinking, I didn't think it was supposed to go this way. Maybe you're thinking, this isn't what I had planned initially. But one day he's going to come back and he's going to take all of those little things, those issues that you thought, you know, were just small things, and he's going to fix them all. And he's going to take you to himself, and for eternity we will live happily ever after with him. So what have you got to, what are you doing with these things? How's your response this morning? You've got to respond right. There's a catch. We're going to heaven no matter what. We've got eternity to look for. We are going. He's going to take us up in that rapture, and there's nothing we can do about it. Whether you want to stay or you want to go, it doesn't matter. He's going to take us to himself, and we're going to spend eternity with him. But on this earth, you can respond wrong. You can respond the wrong way to the problems. You can respond the wrong way to the things that God introduces in your life, or the things that you've done to yourself, or the things that maybe somebody else has done to you. And so I ask you this morning, how are you going to respond? Are you going to go pour your soul out to him like Hannah did? Will you repent the way that Bathsheba did? Will you maybe understand the truth that Abigail understood and just continue on the way that she did? How is it with you this morning? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, again, we thank you for this book, and I don't know what problems these people have in here. I don't know what issues these folks have, Lord, but maybe they need to come and take care of some things. And maybe they need to come and just lay it at your feet and cast all your care, all their care on you, because you care for them. And Lord, there's nobody that ever cared for us like you. There's nobody that cares for us like you. And so, Lord, I help us to see the problems that we have in life, and help us to see the discouragement and the depression and the things that are just so natural that we feel in this life, and help us to bring it to you. Help us to take care of it with you and spend some time with you, because that's the only way that we can truly be satisfied and happy in this life, is with you. So God, I thank you for everything you've done. I thank you for all you've sent to us. I thank you for sending your son to us to show your great love. And I pray now that you just be in the rest of our lives, and be, as we go throughout this week, help us to face our problems with you on our mind and on our hearts, and help us to take those things to you. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.